try this again. We're having a public hearing on House Bill 1525. Peggy, do you have anything to say, or shall we start right again?
No, I think that we could start right away. The only thing I would mention is that yesterday in my overview, I talked about the fact that the governor had reduced the budget to 4.2% from current service levels, or 4.2% from current service level, and then eliminated all the policy packages in essence. But it came out to balance that way. The other thing that I didn't mention is that in the governor's subsequent March budget, post-March forecast, he did reduce the legislative budget further by, I believe, around $700,000 and some thousand. Excuse me. $400,000, okay. Totally reduced the judicial and the legislative branches about $4 million, and a portion of that was for the legislative agencies. Since we work in a work session from the printed document, that's any adjustments that would be made to that would be from the original printed document. And as I mentioned, the co-chairs have included restoration to the request level in their budget plan.
Okay. Good morning, Mr. Henderson. Come on up.
Morning.
Since we do not have anything else on the agenda today, we should be able to move right along.
Oh, Madam Chair, I had another appointment. I wasn't.
Oh, you did. Okay, maybe it won't go with the amendment.
I'll go as quickly as I possibly can to help Representative Hayden make that appointment.
Okay.
I'm Dave Henderson, Legislative Administrator. Yesterday we talked about the structure of legislative administration and some of the projects that we've completed in the past biennium. Today I would like to briefly go over a list of 19 option packages that we have presented with this budget that would fund the projects that we believe we can complete in the coming biennium.
And you want to tell us where you think we might find that in here?
They start on page 71, okay, behind the committee services tab.
Yes.
Procedural issue. I noticed, Dave, a number of these policy option packages are information technology related. Are we going to see some of this go through e-government?
Yes, they're scheduled to go through e-government, I believe, on the 2nd or 4th of June. 4th of June. And they have been, not particularly on this project, but on the major project, the $2.3 million technology transition, reporting almost at every committee meeting over the last couple of years to the information then.
Madam Chair, procedural question. In as much as we will be signing die on the 8th of June, I wondered how we were going to be able to make this work out, Madam Chair.
I don't know, but I'm very pleased to hear about this June 8th thing. I can start planning my schedule, can I? I know, and a few years ago we were out by June 8th, and June 8th again would be very satisfactory to me.
Well, don't plan to harvest the bees.
Don't plan to harvest the bees. Okay. Please proceed.
I would be happy to do that, Madam Chair. We will begin with package number 201, web editor position. And I would like to say, before we start into these, that these are not presented in order of importance to us. This is merely the way they were put together for the budget document. The web page that the legislature maintains is virtually a full-time job, and we are using a position within the administrator's office right now to maintain that page. This package would create a specific web editor position within committee services to maintain the web page. It's a total of $96,157. And I'll just keep moving along until you have questions.
Okay.
That's package number 201. The next page, package number 202, committee services positions, totaling $108,159. We have 12 committee administrator and legislative analyst positions within committee services that are at various salary ranges, starting at a range 27, going all the way up to a range 36. We have found over the course of the last several years, as we've recruited to fill positions, that the leadership likes us to bring in people with a great deal more experience than we've got the ability to pay for with the lower range positions. This would reclass two of the positions from the first step, or the first range of 27 up to a higher range, so that we would have the funds available to recruit people with more experience. The next page is a package on photocopiers, and it's package number 203. We have upgraded photocopiers within committee services, going away from analog copiers to digital copiers, which are more efficient and break down less frequently. The contract on those is about $71,700 more than what we had budgeted for the analog copiers, and this would provide funds to continue to fund the new photocopiers.
I just wondered, relative to that package, it looked very technical to me, and I just wondered if maybe that was going through e-government as well. I don't know the difference between analog and digital copiers, so.
Mr. Chairman, Madam Chairman, Representative Butler, normally the leasing or purchasing of a photocopier would not go through.
Would not go through, okay.
Since most of them are digital, and so that normally would not be.
So this just augments then the amount, the $71,700 on this package just augments the existing budget which we have in the current service level then?
Correct.
All right. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And then if you will go to the Information Systems tab, budget page 93 has information about package number 301. This is our top priority package. This is $2.3 million to continue the technology transition program, which I discussed yesterday. This came out of the 1995 legislature when it became obvious that the information computing capacity that we had was outdated and was no longer maintained completely by the vendors. We've been through 6 years of getting the plan up and running, and we've had a very successful past 2 years in moving away from the legacy mainframe systems. And we would make probably the greatest steps forward in the coming 2 years with this package. This one of the largest components in this package would take the systems that are operated by the desks, the clerk of the House and the Secretary of the Senate, and move them off of the mainframe. Those are the systems that maintain the bills as they work their way through the legislative process, from being scheduled for hearings through floor action and moving on to signatures for the presiding officers. So that's a package for $2.3 million.
Madam Chair, again, and I recognize that as we go through this process, and this comes back to that policy option package 203, as we go through this process, we do need to update and we do need to maintain. But the concern I've got is that as we move to analog copying system, does that in any way capture information from the computer system so that they can be, because we have computers with printers and then we have copiers, and I understand that, you know, some of this stuff is can be significantly enhanced through the computer system, that we can get better copies too. So that's kind of why I wanted to know, when it starts talking about analog versus digital copying, if that is a system that could be integrated with the existing or with the enhanced computer system we're talking about, Dave.
Madam Chair, Representative Butler, we do look, whenever we make a photocopier decision, we are now at a point where we're able to network some of those copiers into the computer system, so that rather than someone working at their standalone computer, printing out a document and then taking it to a photocopier and copying it, we are looking at the options of being able to feed it directly from the computer to the photocopier. And I believe there is at least one copier that is networked, and we look at that as we're going through this on every opportunity to network all the electronic equipment together.
Well, that's why I had to ask about that. It looked like we were at an additional $71,000 over our existing current service level. It looked like that this was a rather substantially enhanced system, and I wanted to make certain that it would be compatible with exactly what it is that the manager is talking about.
Madam Chair, different budgets that come later on, but for example, Legislative Fiscal Office does through DAS is the facility services lease a machine that we can print, give orders for printing from our computer. So when we're preparing materials, we don't have to actually go to the machine. We can give it its orders, whether it's punched paper, two-sided, collated, stapled, jammed. That works too. That one works real well. But so those, there is that.
Well, it sounds like you're on the leading edge of technology. Yeah. Thank you.
Moving on to package number 302, that you will find on budget page 96. This is a recording and archiving package. We are required by statute to record all committee meetings and floor sessions of the House and the Senate. And right now we're doing that on systems that are tape decks that were originally put together many years ago that are limping along. In addition to taping in the hearing rooms, we are streaming audio on the internet, which is a separate system. And then in addition to that, we also have video in each hearing room, which again is a separate system. So we are in effect running three different systems to produce a taped recording of the proceedings. This package would fund a study to determine what is the best option for providing for taping of the proceedings, and then actually implementing that package, implementing the solution, replacing the tape decks, which are frankly limping along this session, and we're fortunate to be able to keep them operating.
St. Johnson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. There has been some discussion in this session about the legislature finding funding for a program that would make legislative proceedings and judicial proceedings, state meetings, available to the public, an Oregon equivalent of C-SPAN. And the question that I have about that is that it seems, particularly with this policy option package, where you're asking for an investment in making your streaming capabilities better, your production capabilities better, it seems to me that those two things do the same thing. And I guess that's what I'm asking you. Is that a false assumption, or are you producing? I'm just trying to avoid duplication. It seems as though we've got two sets of assets hunting for an investment. One of them is here in the building and provides archival work as well as productions that could be available to the public. A second one is moving forward in the private sector, but seems to do precisely the same thing. And I'm trying to get a sense from you whether or not that's a false assumption on my part.
Madam Chair, Representative Johnson, I think you're referring to the Oregon Public Affairs Network.
I am.
And we have been working closely between our media shop and OPAN on coordinating our resources so that we can best serve the people in the state. What OPAN is doing is taking the signal that we produce internally, and they are trying to put together a network to distribute that more broadly than we already do distribute it in the state. Right now, we work with cable providers to make the closed circuit signal available to their customers, and we do that in the Portland area and in the Salem area. OPAN's goal is to take that signal and make it available even more broadly. But they take our signal, and their intention is to enhance it with some additional captioning and that sort of stuff, and then distribute it more broadly. So, in effect, we still are required to, for statutory purposes, produce the record that ends up at the state archive.
Right.
And they are more of a distribution channel than a production channel.
Right now, though, there's a certain distribution element to what you do, is there not? I mean, you can pick up on the internet proceedings, certain proceedings or all proceedings from this building.
Madam Chair, Representative Johnson, you can pick up all audio of all proceedings in the building and video of some limited proceedings.
This might be a subject to come back and revisit at a different time. I've had a number of conversations with Phil Kiesling about this. I served on the board of OPB for 15 years, and it seemed to me as though there's a nexus there that hasn't been completely explored, rather than starting a new production company for all intents and purposes. But I was just trying to get a sense, when you're looking for funding for your policy option package that you say is your most important element for the statutory responsibilities you discharge, I'm just trying to get a reassurance that there's not an overlap here if OPAN is in here looking for the same money.
Madam Chair, Representative Johnson, I should say on the record that I was invited about 6 months ago to join the board of OPAN, and I did that so that we could coordinate to make sure that we were not duplicating efforts that they were doing and vice versa. So we're trying to work very closely together to make sure that we don't duplicate.
Perfect. That was the answer I wanted. Thank you.
Okay. You're welcome.
Representative Hayden.
Do we maintain verbatim transcripts of committee hearings or logs?
Madam Chair, Representative Hayden, we don't have the ability to do verbatim transcripts, so we do more of a tape log.
Didn't we, in years past, do verbatim transcripts?
Madam Chair, Representative Hayden, since I've been here, I'm not aware of verbatim transcripts being kept. There have been some committees that wanted more detailed logs than others, so there is some flexibility in the detail in the log, but I'm not aware of any that actually did verbatim transcripts.
Do we have the technology now to with scanners and the high-tech stuff to create verbatim transcripts without a secretary actually typing them up?
Madam Chair, Representative Hayden, that would be part of what this package would fund. We would look into what technology is out there to most efficiently produce the minutes, whether it be a tape log or a verbatim transcript. And I could defer to my media person who's here, and she may be able to better answer your question if you'd like more detail.
Not at the moment, but Madam Chair, it would seem to me if we have the technology to take an audio transcript and transfer it to a disk, which could then print out a verbatim transcript, that would be a good thing to have, and it wouldn't require much storage space if the technology is there by now. Because otherwise, if we want an actual quote, we have to get one of these little dictation machines and go back and search for it and then type it out ourselves.
Listening to the audio tape, yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
You're welcome. Package number 303.
Senator Duke. Before we leave this one, can I ask you a question? I notice in the narrative that you're going to work with a whole lot of people to design and implement a solution. So how do we know it's going to cost $327,000?
Madam Chair, Senator Deuce, I think I would be best if I brought up someone who could help answer that question. This is Vicki Ross, who is our media and network supervisor, and she's worked with the staff to put together that estimate.
I was going to say, that's a name I know. We get emails from you all the time.
Good morning, Vicki.
Good morning. The price of this policy package is based on the equipment that we believe we would need to implement a solution. We do need to work with all the stakeholders involved in the ultimate solution of the Community Services Archives Media Information System. To price this package, we sort of envisioned what could a system look like. The ultimate system may be very different from our preliminary vision, but based on the preliminary vision, we priced out the equipment that we would need, and that's how we arrived at the price of the policy package.
Are you likely to need the same basic equipment regardless of what the outcome is, what kind of equipment is?
Chair Clarno, Senator Vidukes, yes, I think so. There are, at this point in the evolution of technology, there's a certain range of equipment that's likely to serve. A DVD jukebox is, in our estimation at this time, the most likely thing that we'll end up using. So that's included here. It could be that new technologies will emerge that will meet our need, but then that's a little risky because they're new, and we want something that'll be solid.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
While she's here, I'll just go ahead, Peggy.
I'll just remind the committee, too, that these packages that we're dealing with under the Information Systems tab will all be reviewed by the Information Advancing the Government. So, for the details, too.
Representative Hayden.
While you're here, then, if you would answer my question, is the technology available to go from an audio transcript to a printed verbatim transcript without a lot of human intervention?
Madam Chair, Representative Hayden, we had not thought of that. What we had thought of was indexing the digital recording. It's likely that this will be digital, and ideally, those would be indexed. So if you wanted to locate a particular piece of testimony within the content, you could go directly to that without having to search for it. To do what you're suggesting, I believe, would take voice recognition technology, which is, it's not as good today as it's going to be someday, and it's likely to be problematic. So the transcript you would ultimately end up with wouldn't be exactly what you said. We can consider that when we do look at the system and ideally plan it in so that when that technology is ready, we're positioned to take advantage of it.
I'm sure. Well, two or three times this session I've had occasion to get the tapes, get a dictaphone, go back, the indexing would be good, try to find the place in 4 hours of tape, and then have a secretary manually transcribe it. And it just seems to me like if you can talk into a computer now and it knows what you're saying, that we should be close to being able to reduce that to the printed page so that you could just call up a disk of the thing and have that printed out. You wouldn't necessarily have to print all the pages and have them in the library, but if you had them on a disk that we could order down. And if you multiply 3 times by 90 by 3,000 or whatever, whoever might want to use that from time to time over the years. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Hayden. While you're here, I just have a technology question. One of the things I'm encouraging agencies to do is to do a lot more video conferencing. We do it in my office a couple times a month in my district, so that I see them on the screen and they see me. And I have a community, one community, and then another town a few miles away on the same situation. How's that technology progressing as far as being more available for agencies to do video conferencing, training through video conferencing, meetings through video conferencing? Are we a ways away yet, or is that getting better?
Madam Chair, we cooperate with the Department of Administrative Services. I believe the system you're using is down in the basement of the Capitol here.
Well, actually, it's in Hearing Room C is where we
Okay. That system is tied in to the Department of Administrative Services, so we're essentially an extension of their system. I know that they have an extensive plan to deploy extensions in high schools, community colleges, institutions of higher education throughout Oregon. Because we are using their system other than as kind of an end user, I'm not that familiar with what their plans are.
Mm-hmm. Representative Johnson.
I think, Madam Chair, until the technology kind of catches up with that video conferencing, it has some limitations. You've been nice enough to let me sit in as an honorary Central Oregonian in your video conferencing, and it's great, but people have a tendency to move. The technology, I just don't think, makes it as conversational as we're talking right now. I guess my plea is that as the machines are being deployed, that there's some acknowledgement that the technology has a ways to catch up and that you don't end up putting stuff in place that becomes obsolete almost instantaneously as the less jerky version comes online. That's exactly it.
And relay seems fine to me.
I worked for ODOT for a while, and we tried to do some trainings with those, and they were painful.
It is a little rough, but yet I think if we take all the travel budget and all the agencies and put into this technology,
you get no argument from me.
Then we'll soon have a system that works.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you very much, Dave. If you'd like.
I'm not ready to go away.
Okay.
Because you may have questions about package number 303, which is on budget page 98. This is an upgrade to our infrastructure, particularly to look at and most likely replace our email and calendaring system, and in addition to that, improve remote access so that when you are in your districts during the interim, it will be easier for you to come into the legislative system and view documents and work on programs within the legislative system. And this is a package totaling $388,000.
Senator Duke.
I'm just curious. That seems like a lot of money. I totally agree. The system we use is not particularly helpful for our needs. That's my kindest way of putting it. I've been yelling about it for about 4 years. But it doesn't seem to me, I mean, none of these are new things. Email, word processing, that sort of stuff is old in technology. And so it just doesn't seem like it should be this expensive.
Madam Chair, Representative Senator Dukes, included in the package is the email system, which is the licenses for all the pieces that it runs on.
And I keep wishing we'd actually create some of our own. The problem you have with most of this sort of thing is that the assumption has always been that the members of the legislature are just like employees in any other state agency with the same needs, and we have completely different needs as it comes to using our computers. So I keep wishing we create our own, but you're telling me we're going to go out and buy a new system?
Madam Chair, Senator Duke. We are working right now to identify what the needs are. What we're learning and what we have seen over the last few years is that the needs of the legislature are very different. We have folks who are in the building for about 6 months, and then they're somewhere else for 9 months. And we're essentially running a very distributed system. And it's not field offices. It can be any place in Oregon where folks are. So we're spending a lot of time making sure we understand what those needs are. At the same time, if we were to write our own email system, it would cost us far more money than buying an off-the-shelf package. So we're looking for...
On the other hand, it would meet our needs.
I'm sorry, excuse me?
I said, on the other hand, it would meet our needs.
We will look at what the systems are and how close do they meet our needs. It's unlikely that we would be able to make it cost-effective to write our own. Included in the package, then, is the email system, and when we begin to implement a new email system, assuming that's the direction we go in, we have to continue to run the old one while we're running the new one, so there's some cost duplication there. Eventually, the old system and the equipment it runs on, we will be able to use that for something else. But for the transition period, we have to run both. Also included in the package is a telecommunications cost for providing for each member a cable modem or digital subscriber line from your district office to the Capitol, if it's available in your district office. So that's about $100,000 of the package.
Where I live.
Well, if it's available.
Okay.
I'm going to pause here for a moment, if you don't mind, and ask Greg Shamoff to come up from Legislative Council. I have a feeling with the body requesting lots of amendments, he probably needs to be back to his shop. And if you don't mind.
All right.
I just wanted to comment, Madam Chair, but at current time, for my purposes, at least a Hotmail account would work a whole lot better than what we have. And they're fairly cheap.
I want to second that. When I respond to any of the system mail that I want people to be able to communicate with me, I ask them to resend it to my private account, which is received here at the Capitol, so that I may be able to respond to them in the future, because I can't put them on to the state's return address. I mean, this doesn't work. So,
but on the other hand, you have an account for every single employee in the state of Oregon.
Exactly.
In your address book that you'll never need. Yes.
And I can't add somebody else to it. So it just is very, very difficult. And I, again, like I say, I always have two email addresses back home, both of which I receive here, but both of which, or either one of which, I always give back out when I say, I love your email, and I'd like to share it with some of the people in our district. If you'll send it to me at this address, which I will receive it right back here at this computer again, then I'll be able to do something with it. I'll be able to edit it, to take out the parts, and then I'll be able to send it on to people who really are important to me, as opposed to 40,000 other employees that I don't know who they are.
But even at that, that's a better system than when you get home and try to use it.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Good morning, Greg.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, thank you very much for accommodating our busy schedule. I've asked Senator Mueller and Representative Williams, the co-chairs of our committee, to make brief appearances if their schedules permit. The Legislative Council Committee, which oversees our operation, is an 11-member committee appointed by the President and the Senate, and Representative Williams and Senator Mueller are our co-chairs. We work very closely with them, and the budget that we are presenting to you is one that they have reviewed and approved. What we request from you is the approval of the governor's recommended budget with one change, which I will explain briefly, and which does not call for any additional funds. You can find the mission statement for our committee in the agency summary. The bottom line is we try to provide the best legal services and publications that we can for you. We've provided you in the front leaf of your notebook with a brochure that explains all that we do, and there's also a short narrative that we prepared to summarize what's in your notebook. There's an organizational chart under general program. The bottom line with this budget is it's the same as last time with one change. We're asking for a shift of $140,000 from other funds to general funds, which accounts for a drop in sales and therefore revenues of the publications that we sell. Part of our office is funded by the sales of the Oregon Revised Statutes in hard copy and on disk, and as the Oregon Revised Statute is made available free over the internet, we are necessarily selling fewer of a comparable product. Figure three behind your narrative shows the steady decline in the sales of our publications. The other request that we have in our that is not reflected in the requested budget is to have the committee, and this is the very last document in your notebook, acknowledge or allow us to have the position authority for three attorneys who already work for us. For several decades, it was the practice of our office to hire people when we had the money, even though we didn't have the position authority. And
yeah, but who makes the law?
Madam Chair, Representative Butler, I don't believe it's illegal, but I do believe that it's not the best practice for enabling the Legislative Assembly to have an accurate picture of what you're paying for. And I understand. The three positions that we are asking you to authorize are positions that are already filled, already funded, already have lawyers who this very moment are preparing amendments for you, and it won't change anything in our office other than you will now realize how many people actually work there. Since the last biennium, as it has in a very consistent trend throughout the decade, our workload is up, which you can see through figure one. The one exception, the one significant blip down, which we very much appreciated, corresponded with Senator Carno's tenure as Speaker.
I just really like this graph. Be sure you all see this.
but for that, our workload has been pretty much in every biennium increasing. The quantity of our production is also up, which figure two is an example of. That is in part a result from our hiring fewer part-time session employees and more continuing staff. The work that we do is so complex, so specialized, that we have found that it makes more sense and we can work faster if we have a fewer number of people who are highly trained and stay rather than treating our staff as guppies. There are two examples that I can give you to highlight the quality of the work that we do. The Central and European Law Initiative, which is an organization made up of the American Bar Association and the United States Department of State, helps former communist countries that are now emerging republics help set up their legislatures. And that organization is using our office as the model. We provide them with all of our organizational materials, all of our internal practices, and export those at times with people from our office to places like Kazakhstan and Kyrgyzstan to help them set up their legislative council offices. A great deal of how one would evaluate the work in our office comes from basically how happy you are or how happy you aren't. At the conclusion of every session, we prepare a survey of all members, asking them a series of questions about whether we met their needs. And I've brought copies of the surveys from the last, session, giving you both the kudos and the complaints, and I hope that we have, since receiving those complaints, addressed them. Since last session, we have achieved some efficiencies in our sales of publications. We have consolidated all of our off-site storage and shipping facilities in one location. Have implemented new software that greatly streamlines our ordering and shipping capacity. Our other efficiencies, as far as bill drafting and that sort of thing, will depend directly upon the extent to which this body funds the Legislative Administration Committee's Information Technologies Package.
Representative Hayden.
I'd just like to comment that his department processed all three of the bills that I introduced expeditiously.
Thank you, Mr. Hayden. I'm sure Mr. Shamoff appreciates that. Thank you. Nice comment.
Madam Chair, Representative Hayden, thank you very much. And we also do keep track of the member that requests the least amount of work for us, and at the conclusion of the session, plan to present an appropriate token of our appreciation.
That better be me.
It sounds like it just may well be you. Yeah. I know some senators it won't be. And
yes, it will not be.
Yeah, no. Yeah.
Okay.
Ms. Archer is also is passing out to you copies of what our computer systems look like. These are the screens that we work with. Our drafting system is 15 years old, roughly, is entirely text-based, does not use graphics, does not use a mouse, does a lot of good thinking, but we could move a lot faster if we had a more modern system. Our legal research system and our indexing system, which we've also provided you examples of, are 26 years old, and the plans to update all of those are in Legislative Administration's budget, and to the extent that you can assist them to assist us, we'd very much appreciate that. I know that the committee is interested in travel issues. I approve all continuing legal education use in the office to ensure that no one's going on any particular boondoggle. Everyone in the office has the opportunity to go out of state if need be. Our office probably sends people out of state more often than other offices would, because there isn't anyone else in the state who does what we do, and we need to meet with our colleagues in other states to have a good learning experience. However, we do limit the number of people who go on those programs. For example, there are programs that are specially put together for senior legislative drafters, and we will send a couple of our folks to those and then have them report back and teach the rest of us what happened. With that, I'd be pleased to turn over the microphone to our co-chair, Representative Williams, to provide any additional exhortation that he would like.
Thank you. Good morning, Representative Williams. Nice to have you here.
Good morning, Madam Chairman. Thank you for allowing me to be here. I sit here primarily as moral support to Mr. Chamoff, as co-chair of the Legislative Council Committee. I served on Legislative Council Committee during the last interim and have been fairly intimately involved with their operations this session. I meet regularly with Mr. Chamoff to discuss levels of staffing, personnel concerns, workload concerns, member concerns, output production, and other similar matters that relate to the operation of the Legislative Council's office, in conjunction with Co-Chair Miller from the Senate and members of the Legislative Council Committee. Mr. Chamoff has consulted with myself and Co-Chair Miller about the budget. We are comfortable, as this budget is actually one of the few budgets I think you're likely to see this session that's not asking for an increase, despite, frankly, in my own opinion, our substantial need. And we're not asking for an increase because we recognize the difficult circumstances all of us are operating under with respect to the current budget. But I believe that were we to come in and ask for an increase, we could certainly justify it, both in the antiquated system we have currently for drafting, which these folks labor under, the indexing system, and frankly the challenge that it takes in an increasingly term-limited environment where there is more education necessary between Legislative Council staff and members, and the turnover that Mr. Chamoff has had in his office over the last 3 years as senior drafters have made decisions to take their retirement under the system and move out of the process. We've had an incredible turnover and workload. I was pleased to sit in the committee during the interim where a now retired member, but the deputy counsel of Legislative Council, presented Mr. Chamoff an award, essentially a thank you from staff for the efforts that he has made to attempt to keep that office maintained at a professional level despite the large number of retiring individuals. And I think we all recognize that. I believe Mr. Chamoff recognizes that in the drafting efforts that have gone on in that office, that we do need to educate these people. The job they do is a very particular job and not one that lends itself to any lawyer who walks in off the street from anywhere to be able to pick up the pen and start drafting laws. They work under very stressful situations during the session, and we hire a large amount of temporary session staff in order to operate the system. And I'm fully behind Mr. Chamoff's effort to manage that process. I work with him on particular matters of concern that the members of the body come to me with respect to issues in that office, and we ought to be in here, frankly, asking you for more money to make this process work. This is our process. It's your process and my process as members, and to the extent that we rely as heavily as we do on Legislative Council to get the bill drafts done in a timely fashion and to work with us in solving and answering our questions of legal concern, it ought to be a process that, frankly, we're willing to invest more money in. But this budget proposal that we've got before you today, I think, is reasonable under the circumstances, and I stand by him and with Senator Miller, who would be here if he could, to tell you that we'd ask for your support and approval of this budget.
Thank you, Representative Williams. Any questions? Senator Dukes.
I noticed in here reduction packages. Are you advocating those as well?
No, Madam Chairman, Senator Dukes, we are not advocating reduction packages. It's my understanding that we were requested to provide them as we brought the budget forward. I think every one of those reduction packages, whichever you chose, would severely hamper the ability of Legislative Council's office to perform its operations. But like every other part of the budget system, we are here today to provide you those packages for your review and consideration, but I would not advocate for them.
Chair, Mr. Williams, I would agree with your analysis that this agency should be funded in the amount of money that they need. Now, it's been noted that the amount of legislation to be drafted is increasing, and from time to time people say we should limit the amount of things to be drafted. And the truth is that lots of them have no substantial merit. Maybe 80% of them have no substantial merit. And I wrestled with that for many years, and I finally came to the conclusion that in a democratic society with the free interchange of ideas, everyone should have the opportunity to put their idea before the public. And so I support drafting 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 bills, even though I hope to win the award for introducing the least number of bills. But, yeah, I would support, now or in the future, the financial resources to allow the people. And I disagree with you when you say it's our process. It is the people's process. And I would support the ability to bring the people's ideas into the ferment of this intellectual forum for, and let the cream rise to the top and the rest fail.
If I could, Madam Chair, Representative Hayden, when I say it's our process, I mean our process is the elected representatives of the people, so please let me be clear about that. But it is a unique role that we play as the people's representatives, and I agree wholeheartedly with you. I oppose any limitation on the number of bills that a member ought to be allowed to introduce, because I agree that it would stifle the ability for people to bring their ideas forward, despite the fact that you and I could sit down and agree that probably over half of them weren't worth the paper and the time and effort that they were printed on. But it is the one unique thing. It is the one thing that you and I and Senator Clarno and Representative Butler and Representative Johnson and Senator Dukes, that we are able to do. It's the one distinguishing thing as a member of the legislature that we can do that virtually no one else can, which is to bring forward an idea and have a bill drafted and present that bill on the floor of a chamber in this body, at least for first reading, and then to use our auspices of our office to get it heard by a committee and put to a vote of the people's elected representatives. And I agree wholeheartedly with you, and I would fight that. I would tell you that from a process standpoint, there are a couple of processes which I think we could do that would not stifle anyone's ability for free exchange of ideas, but would perhaps lower the number of bills. And that's what I refer to as the relating clause game that we play in this process. And I will admit that as a chairman of a committee, I am guilty of making sure that before the end of the bill drop date that I had a sufficient number of bills prepared, which I did not intend in their current version to necessarily move, that had the right relating clause associated with it. So if in case I needed a bill after the deadlines had passed to do some good work, I would be allowed to do that with the available relating clause. And everyone in this process does this. That results in additional bills being printed that might not otherwise be needed. I think a fundamental change that we ought to consider as a body is to simply acknowledge that a chairman of a committee would have perhaps 10 authorizations for bills that he could choose or she could choose to have printed that are committee bills without the need to have bills printed that might otherwise not be necessary to save an available relating clause, and that authorization would go beyond the regular deadline for bill filing. That would then, in my case, where a number of these we printed for, to keep if necessary, may not in fact ever be necessary, and therefore we went through the expense of printing a bill to get in our possession that we ended up not using. There are modifications to the system like that which I think could reduce the number of time bills are printed without necessarily needing them and lower the requirements on legislative counsel's office to do that work, and it's a systematic change that I think the membership ought to be willing to consider. And there are other similar things like that that we could do that I think would make the process work more effectively, and we ought to talk about, frankly, during the interim.
Representative Johnson.
Thank you. As long as you're talking about process, one that I found interesting coming as a freshman was, and I wondered if it had any discussion at your committee level, was the inability to know that bills absolutely similar were being drafted and folks not having the opportunity to have a mechanism. And I understand that not everyone would embrace this concept, but some kind of a mechanism to keep Mr. Chamoff and his staff from redrafting the same concept over and over and over again when there might be a more reliable way to exchange that information among members.
Madam Chair, Representative Johnson, in each orientation we provide to a new member, we encourage the new member to check the box on the request form that would authorize us to share the member's idea if another member came in with the same idea. And from time to time, that does happen. More often than not, however, a member chooses not to have someone else know that he or she is working on an identical concept. I don't want to put words in a member's mouth, but I suspect that some members would prefer to take credit for an idea rather than share that credit.
And
And it's an issue that we have been wrestling with for a long time, confidentiality in what you're drafting has been a, you know, has been around for some time. And I agree, with St. Johnson, if I find out somebody's drafting something that I'm doing similar, whether regardless of what body they're in or what their party name is, I ask to be included, because I think it's very important not only to save our legislative council the work, but to have a concerted effort. Which brings me to a question I'd like to ask Representative Williams. Is there any discussion on your committee ever about the possibility, since we have term limits, of having more intense, I don't want to say training, but orientation for new members regarding the understanding of the bills, their cost, the cooperation and the importance of checking the box, and maybe that's something that leadership needs to be a little more intensive about. I just really feel that people feel coming in that there's a lot that they don't understand, and that I wonder if we're needing to expand our orientation, education opportunities.
Madam Chair, I will let Mr. Chamoff talk a little bit about training. I guess I would sum it up briefly in my own opinion, and then I'll let him tell you what he's actually what he actually thinks will work. In my own opinion, the way this works is we get people elected through this process in November, and we start a session in January, and in between there, there's that constant leg wrestling match as to who's going to be leadership. And so we put on these training sessions, or have put on these training sessions, where we bring the new members in, and a lot of people stand around talking about the politics, but not very many people, frankly, listening to the training session about the process. And as you all know from your agricultural experience, you can lead that horse to water, but you can't make him drink. I think we've done a pretty good job of offering a lot of information to members. We find them to be, frankly, quite preoccupied with other matters during the time frame in which we now know who they are and before the date the session actually kicks off. And I think that is a practical construct that prevents us from probably having better trained members than we do with respect to the operations of legislative council that are just inherent in our system. That's my own personal opinion. I'll let Mr. Chamoff address the issue.
Madam Chair. Representative Williams, the argument fails in this regard. I've been here seven sessions and I didn't know about the box, and I've been to a lot of training sessions where I wasn't involved in partisan battles for leadership, so how come I didn't know about the box?
Mr. Chairman.
Madam Chair, Representative Hayden, in our orientation for new members, I do include a slideshow that not only covers the cost and services of a measure in our office, but also the form itself, along with a plea to please check the box. And I realize that there were some members with substantial experience in the body who may not have felt that it was the best use of their time to attend what appeared to be a rudimentary orientation session, but we do make that information available to anyone who's willing to come and listen.
Senator, did the Health Service have a table a little bit? The box is new.
The box is new.
The box is new. It used to be that the drafter would say, who was drafting the 35 versions that everybody had of the same bill, would say to you, someone else is drafting, has requested that a similar bill be drafted. Would it be all right with you if I pass on to them that you are also interested? And you either said yes or no. And if you said yes, then the idea was that the two of you would get together. That allowed them not to give any names without your permission. they've streamlined it now, and there's a box. And sometimes people misunderstand the box and do other things with it. But when you were here before, there was no box.
Representative, Madam Chair, Representative Hayden, it's just in our ever-increasing effort to get members to think outside the box.
Clearly we're doing if we're not checking the box.
I got nailed for a long word yesterday.
Yes. which reminds me, Greg, would you explain your little take?
Oh.
Did you just bring him along to comfort ours?
No, Madam Chair, this is my antique state capitol piggy bank, which I brought along more as a reminder to myself than anything else that I was not to use acronyms.
I see, but it sounds empty.
There is something in it.
Just about the size of our budget, Madam Chair.
Okay, anything further? Representative Johnson.
I'd just like to remark for the record that I think Oregonians in general are unaware of the fact that staff from this building, whether it's in Mr. Chamoff's shop or whether it's in the clerk's shop, have been called upon by emerging nations to help craft their framework for legislative procedures, and we should all be justifiably proud that our folks are selected to help give this guidance to countries around the world. And I don't think that that is well known, and we ought to do more to celebrate the fact that Oregonians are helping emerging democracies. I think it's a wonderful thing.
We will ask Mr. Henderson when he comes back if that's on our webpage. I think it should be, and we're very proud of you. I want to compliment you on this brochure. In 93, I was the head of a committee that looked at a lot of printing and publishing that was done by state agencies. It was pretty extravagant. And I've come back and kind of reminded agencies about the fact that we like to have things printed on both sides of the paper so we don't lose a lot more trees, and that we do not have gold lettered or fancy brochures, and this is an excellent brochure, and I compliment you on it.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Any further questions? Any further discussion? Thank you for your
Thank
good
you
work.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, members of the committee, Madam Chairman.
Thank you very much. Dave, would you like to come back?
Madam Chair, I do have about a dozen more packages to go through, and if you wanted to invite the Commission on Indian Services I don't know how much time they need, but I leave that up to the committee.
Madam Chair, I think that's a good idea because they would probably have just about enough time to do this.
Because we all have session at 10. Thank you, Dave. I appreciate your...
You're very welcome.
I know you're here in the building, but I know you also have other things to do as well. Would you like to come up, please? Good morning. Nice to have you here.
Good morning, Madam Chair. Members of the committee, for the record, my name is Karen Quigley. I'm the Executive Director of the Legislative Commission on Indian Services. And thank you very much for allowing us to bump ahead of LAC. As you may know, tomorrow is a very big day here at the state capitol. Governor Vicketty is going to be here. Governor Kitzhaber is going to be signing the first in the nation state-tribal relations bill, co-sponsored by the chair of this committee, as well as a proclamation for Oregon Indian Week, and we hope you'll be able to join in at least some of the festivities tomorrow. With me is the chair of the Legislative Commission on Indian Services, LaVon Lobert-Edmo, and she's going to present the testimony. Thank you.
Thank you. And before LaVon begins, I would just like to thank you publicly for the assistance you've given to me and one of the Indians in my district who had a problem. It was very nice help, and I appreciate it very much. And I'm so pleased to know that Governor Attia will be here. I usually participate in the Paiumsha 3 days and may not get to this year if we're still in this building. But Governor Attia is so well respected over there, and I always get to ride my horse right behind him. So thank you very much. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, Madam Chair, members of the committee. For the record, my name is LaVon Lobert-Edmo. I am an enrolled member of the Klamath Tribes, and I have served and continue to serve as the chair of the Legislative Commission on Indian Services now, I think, for almost 3 governors. I've been here for a while. Anyway, I am here today to respectfully request from you your continued support for the commission. Your legislative commission, and that's what we are, has a vital function in state tribal relations. It serves as the liaison between the state of Oregon and the 9 federally recognized sovereign governments that share boundaries within the state of Oregon. The commission also serves as the main point of contact for the state of Oregon on Indian issues. This commission facilitates the flow of information and assists in maintaining communications between and among Indians in Oregon, tribal governments, and state governments. Your legislative commission acts in an important capacity as an information clearinghouse. When legislators, the public, state agencies, other state commissions and boards, the press, representatives from the federal government, other states, and other countries have questions about Indians and Indian issues in Oregon, they contact the commission. And when we talk about the commission, more often than not, we talk about Karen Quigley, because she seems to be the commission. And I think there are many in the state government and tribal government that would agree with you. As I am sure you are aware, there's been a great increase in dealings with tribes over the past years and with state government. This is because federal Indian policy, federal law, and numerous court cases create many situations that directly or indirectly affect tribal-state relations. There are two main reasons the state and tribes find it necessary to coordinate. First, the unique legal and political status of federally recognized tribes as sovereigns within our federal system sets up potential jurisdictional issues. And second, federal Indian policy promoting tribal economic development, tribal self-sufficiency, and strong tribal government encourages situations in which tribes provide governmental services and regulation over their members and resources or in partnership with the state. As these laws, court decisions, and policies continue to be in effect, obviously state and tribes as neighbors must make efforts to cooperate. By using this commission as a strategic liaison, state policymakers and state agencies, as well as tribal policymakers and their department staff, have an office available to assist in making appropriate contact. This commission facilitates one-on-one consultation, small group discussions, various types of meetings and summits to consider questions, concerns, and possible ways to address a range of issues that come up in the course of short-term and long-term dealings between states and tribes. All states that have federally recognized tribes have some type of office and commission to deal with Indian issues. And just as Legislative Council shared just with you just recently, in terms of their particular office having a worldwide reputation, the Oregon Commission on Indian Services has a similar reputation across the nation. And that is because we have direct representation from each of the federally 9 recognized tribes, representation from the non-reservation community, and also representation from both the House and the Senate on our commission. Many state legislators that have an Indian Affairs desk in the governor's office are intrigued by our Oregon model, and in fact, our Karen Quigley has traveled in this country to share not only, I think, the state of Alaska, state of Wisconsin and Maine, New Mexico, to share our model with other states, and is working with the state
National Conference
of State Legislatures in clarifying how our model works and why it works in other states. Karen has already mentioned to you that tomorrow this model will be sort of memorialized, and the signing of the bill that was so generously co-sponsored by your chair, and it will be an exciting day to celebrate our 25th anniversary tomorrow with former Governor Attia. It's important to know that it's difficult to calculate the avoided costs in terms of litigation. This legislative commission has, for the past 25 years, provided a way for the state and tribes to learn about each other, exchange viewpoints, and work on some solutions without going to court. This role will likely increase. The commission does training for state agencies and tribes in relevant ways to cooperate and avoid disputes, primarily by learning more about each other's governmental system priorities and areas of interest. We work very hard to make sure that not only do state agencies understand tribes, but that tribes understand state agencies and also this process so that they can impact this process and work with you also on a government-to-government relation. The commission, we do conduct most of our formal business at 4 quarterly commission meetings each year. Most are held here in the Capitol, but at least once a year we travel to some tribal reservation where we have the opportunity to have some state agency heads and representatives come to a reservation to meet in that situation in Indian country. The commission receives information about what is working and what isn't working in terms of programs, services, and policies affecting Indians or tribal interests in Oregon at these meetings. As you know, this commission is not an advocacy commission. By statute, the purpose of our commission is to advise you, the legislature, the governor, staff, and other state agencies. The commission also publishes a resource directory every 2 years that is widely distributed and very much in demand by people in our state. Tomorrow you will receive the latest directory, and the cover of that directory is designed by a person who has worked in the Capitol. So The commission has a web page that includes the directory, agendas, and other information for people to go to. The executive officer does much work as an intergovernmental liaison. And Karen, I'm not even going to read this, because she does so much, not only for us as a commission, but I think for you as a legislature and for also the state agencies. Karen is a very, very busy person, and the tribes, if they had their way, would ask you for a huge budget increase to give Karen a big raise because of the work that she does. I think we as a commission are very lucky to have a person in the caliber of Karen, and I believe also the state in terms of agency is extremely fortunate to have someone of Karen's caliber to help them tread some of the very sticky and sometimes even more political, if possible, than this body, between various tribes and the relationships that exist between them and the state agencies. The commission was instrumental in the development of the executive order signed in May of 1996. The executive order officially recognizes government-to-government relations between the state and tribes in Oregon and encourages state agencies to develop ongoing working relationships with tribes. This commission is heavily involved in working to maintain cooperative relations by promoting two-way understanding and communication and assisting with and monitoring meetings held between state agencies and tribes in six specific and very important cluster groups. These are natural resources, cultural resources, education, public safety and regulation, health and human resources, economic development, and community services. The commission requested a bill this session, Senate Bill 770, co-sponsored by Senator Kate Brown and Senator Bev Cuerno, to codify the key components of this executive order. Significantly, Senate Bill 770 will be signed by the governor tomorrow, and it acknowledges the role of the legislative branch in state-tribal relations in terms of legislative direction to the state agencies on training and consultation to achieve effective partnership with Oregon's tribal government. The commission also is doing ongoing work to carry out its statutory duties with regard to Oregon's cultural resource protection law. The commission office is always available to provide information and in any other way assist the legislator in the state of Oregon to promote positive relations between the states and tribes in Oregon. We have numerous videos and materials in our office that we share willingly with those who ask. Even though the activity of the commission has increased with the executive order and will likely increase to even a greater degree with the passage of Senate Bill 770, we are not requesting funds beyond our current service level. Although, if you'd want to, give us more, we'll take them. Thank you very much, Madam Chair and committee members, and we would very much be happy to answer any questions you may have of us.
Thank you, LaVon.
Thank you for your excellent testimony. In the directory, is there a list of who all serves on the commission, or do you have that available?
Madam Chair, Representative Phillips, absolutely. We have that available, and it's in the directory.
Well, just a comment. In 1995, there was 30,000 acres of timberland sort of up for grabs in the Opal Creek watershed. And I wrote to the Warm Springs Indian Tribe, I think, saying that as this is near possibly your ancestral grounds or at least adjacent to it, I would like to see this timber under your management rather than go into some wilderness status. Never heard from them. I was disappointed about that.
I can't, Madam Chair, Representative Hayden, I have no way to respond to that. I don't know why they would not have responded.
Just a comment.
Says the Warm Springs. Next time I see Mr. Pitt, I shall ask you. Okay. Representative Johnson.
The good news is that I'm delighted to report, I think, that the Opal Creek Wilderness is being very well taken care of right now and has achieved a certain federal prominence in terms of its protection.
Thank you, Representative Johnson. We really appreciate all the hard work you do, and nice to hear LaVon compliment you as well, Karen. Well deserved.
Nothing further. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. And forgive me. No, I'm not a politician. I'm horrible with names. Representative Johnson.
I apologize. I'm not
well,
liable.
Well, you know, you were playing hard to get there. You were the only one with on
just too far away to step back.
I can get it right if I have the opportunity to read it. My apologies.
No. I would just add my father was in the legislature at the time that the commission was established, and he had worked very closely with the tribes at Warm Springs. And I know what significant pride he took in the creation of the commission, and now 25 years later to see it operating as efficiently and as effectively, and the fact that it's the go-to place, as you pointed out in your very thoughtful testimony. I think all the folks that were around at that time should be very pleased with the excellent work you continue to do.
Well, come for salmon and huckleberry and fry bread tomorrow.
That fry bread is absolutely out of this.
Probably have to come early for the fry bread.
You get that through the business sponsor.
Yes, I get the fry bread. Tomorrow I'm working out on the fry bread.
Chair, I just call to the attention of the commission that there is yet another tribe that is a resident tribe within the state of Oregon, and that is our Shoshone McDermott. Group that has several hundred acres here in the state of Oregon and has residency within the state of, or within Niagara County. So, even though they may not have a huge physical presence throughout the rest of the state, don't forget it's in southeastern Oregon.
Madam Chair, Representative Butler, if I may comment, you're absolutely correct, and there are some times that we have communication, particularly on natural resource and cultural resource issues, that my understanding is they do more with the state of Nevada because they are technically in both, and the population is, again, my understanding is entirely in Nevada, but I very much appreciate your comments, and I do want you to know, just within this week, Director of the Department of Forestry has contacted me on some issue. The state of Nebraska has contacted me, the chief executive officer of Metro. So it is a constant stream. And only Wednesday morning and I haven't been in my office yet. Who knows? and many, many more. So it's you should be impressed. And again, everyone across the nation, and we have contact with people in Europe and the East who also are intrigued by the legislative model. It's unique and very, very effective. Thank you for your support.
Certainly welcome. I just have to add, Representative Johnson brought it up, that I ran for the seat, House seat that her father held for many years, and when I first went to the Confederated Tribes of Warm Springs, they said, well, if you know Sam Johnson and Becky Johnson, you're in.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Dave, we'll take a few more minutes if you want to try to get through a couple more packages.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, again, Dave Henderson, Legislative Administrator. We were on package number 303 when we broke, and I think we had answered a number of questions. If there were no more questions on that.
And Dave, what we'll do, the House convenes again, so we will just go about 6 more minutes if that helps you.
Okay. Package number 304 is a $174,000 package. It's on budget page number 100. This is the beginning of an effort to improve our network security and our disaster recovery abilities. It is by no means the complete project. This would fund us to bring in a consultant to work with us to develop a plan so that in the event of any kind of disaster that would affect our network and our computing capabilities, that we would then have the ability to respond to that. I have to emphasize it is the beginning of a project. It would not implement the security process itself. It would fund a study and the development of a plan to be prepared to do disaster recovery. Package number 305 is a $31,000 package. currently, we've got several positions within our Information Systems Department, and particularly within the media portion of that department, that are small 7-month or 8-month positions that are not necessarily filled at the level at which they're budgeted. This cleans up the budget for those positions, and it funds a position that we have had as a one of the positions that we've funded out of budget savings in the past, and would give us the authority for a position that for an additional media technician during session. Package number 306 is an electronic commerce pilot for $65,000 that would be conducted in conjunction with Legislative Council. They have a desire to conduct more sales of the Oregon Revised Statutes and their other publications via the internet, and this package was developed for us to do that as a pilot program to work with them to make those available over the internet. Package number 307 is a $148,000 package to do some infrastructure upgrade for video and audio in the Capitol. The cameras in hearing rooms A and F are about 25 years old. They are not functioning to the level that we need them to function. This would fund replacement of those cameras, as well as installation of new display technology so that it would improve the visual displays for committee members in those hearing rooms. It would also allow us to feed those displays into the closed circuit TV system in a way that would make them much more legible from the closed circuit TV. Rather than having a camera pointed at a screen and then having that fed out, it would feed directly from the presentation out to the closed circuit system. There's additional money in here because we have a number of requests throughout the session and then during the interim as well to cover events that are not in hearing rooms. And to do that, we've got to load equipment up, move it around the Capitol, connect it at remote locations, and feed into the closed circuit system. This package would give us the ability to do that with modern equipment and without having to if you will, bastardize other systems that we have to take equipment from to make it work right now.
Councilman Butler.
Madam Chair, thank you very much. I recognize that also there's been some discussion in this this particular package with the Information Management and Information Resource Management Division of the Department of Administrative Services. I'm wondering again here, is this part of information that will run through our e-commerce and e-government subcommittee, because I think the technology is moving so fast that we're not that far away from actually having broadcast studios in every office of the building wherever there's a telephone with our monitors. So I'm wondering, Dave, is this a package that will also go before e-government?
Madam Chair, Representative Butler, I'm not aware that e-government is planning to look at this package. We would be happy to go to that committee and discuss the specifics with them, but I don't, and perhaps Ms. Archer could respond, but I'm not aware that this is on their agenda right now.
Again, my concern is that because these, whenever we're looking at the technology within the building, wherever there's a telephone, and that's basically what where we will get our services in the future when we start talking about upgrades within hearing rooms or other training areas of the information system so that we're enhancing the video proceedings in one place or another. I just would like to make sure that the e-government is involved.
I was talking to staff about our schedule when you asked your question. Could you repeat it?
Madam Chair, Representative Butler, I think I can correct myself now. Our IS manager informed me that this is on the list that would go before the Advancing E-Government Committee.
Excellent.
All of these packages that are under the Information System tab, all will be reviewed by it.
Okay.
Good. Thank you.
No, that's
fine. I just the comment that I was making, Madam Chair, was that But with the technology, with the advancements in technology, anywhere that there's a telephone in the building, when we start talking about enhancing the access to one room over another, anywhere that there's a telephone within the building, we'll be able to monitor and move around information, video conferencing, and so forth, with the enhancements in technology. And that's why I wanted to make certain that this was something that was going to go before you go.
Let's see, we probably better quit there, Dave, and we will carry this over.
Madam Chair, if I might suggest, there are three more packages that are information system-related packages. If there aren't any in-depth questions on those, if we could get through those, then I wouldn't have to have my IS staff come back.
Okay, we just move along then.
Package number 308 is a $299,000 package, which is a training budget for our information system staff, and it would also make additional computers available in our training room on the fourth floor of the Senate wing. For staff training. We recognize that we are not at market with salaries for our information system staff, and one inducement that we can give them to keep them here is additional training, and this package would provide that training for that staff. Package number 309 is a $100,000 package to improve lighting in the chambers in the Senate and the House. With the volume of coverage that we try to provide, the lighting is not adequate for television purposes, and this would allow us to address that issue and make the quality of the picture better for video purposes for television.
Just turn the switch up.
Why aren't we able to get a light in the phone booths in the Senate?
Yeah,
the issue is not on your head, right? Yeah, this lighting thing just brought up an issue. Yeah. I am so tired of not having lights. What's the problem in that?
Madam Chair, I'd be happy to look into that report when I come back.
We've asked the Sergeant of Arms ever since the session started, and we've not had lights in there at all.
Like
I kind of memorized the keypad,
yeah.
So, but I do get a lot of people that I didn't intend to call. Okay, any other package you need to talk to?
Madam Chair.
Representative.
If I may comment. You know, coming in early or leaving late, I'm afraid I'm going to get mugged in some of those dark hallways, and I'm not kidding you. Those dark halls and dark stairwells, I'm not sure that's a good thing.
It's your energy conservation measures.
Exactly,
yes.
Right.
And you might come back and talk to us about some of the bulbs. I noticed a thing on TV at 6 a.m. this morning about if we can change our bulbs, how much. And I don't want you to add to your budget. So anything else you needed to give
us? The final information systems package is number 310. Should the option package, which is in the legislative assembly budget, to replace personal computers for the legislators be approved, this is a $44,000 package that would be for implementing and purchasing licensing for those computers.
Licensing?
What we need new?
Excuse me, support and maintenance for those computers.
What, replace? We're going to replace them on a rotation basis, or what?
Madam Chair, Representative Hayden, yes. The computers that were initially used during the 1999 session will no longer be able to run all of the programs during the 2003 session once we get there. So it will be time to replace those with newer computers. And that would be a convenient place for us to break if the committee chooses to.
We will break. And questions, Senator Dukes?
99, I purchased through my services and supplies budget a second computer. Who gets to upgrade that when I replace it?
Madam Chair, Senator Dukes, we have not had that discussion, quite frankly. That is one that we will have to have.
I mean, I won't be here in 2003, so it's not, I suppose, a real scenario, but it's possible that members from 99 will still be here in 2003.
And the leadership has allowed members to use service and supply funds to
mm-hmm.
upgrade computers. That would be one option. Another option would be to do it as a blanket upgrade for those computers, and that's something that we would have to have that discussion about.
Okay. Representative Johnson.
When those are surplus, have you given any thought to how they will go out? It seems to me that they're having as many of them as are in a package, and the fact that they all know how to talk to each other would make that a highly desirable package for a school or some institution rather than breaking them up and selling them one at a time, whether or not there's a way to surplus them that they'd stay together in a network.
Madam Chair, Representative Johnson, we do work with schools frequently when we have surplus equipment available, and that would be something that we could look at. There are also internal needs. While those would not be up to the needs for legislators running on the system, there may be other users within the building who they would be adequate for those users to run. But yes, we do work with schools in instances.
It's unique
like that.
To have that many of them.
Yes.
In a package.
Yes.
Madam Chair, I'd like mine to go to Muammar Gaddafi.
Mrs. Butler, are you okay?
He can send you email.
Yeah, and let him try to email.
We will adjourn until tomorrow. We will carry this over till tomorrow. Thank you, Mr. Henderson.